Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, here we go again. For the ninth week, I will report the news on the theater front. None of it particularly good, needless to say. I will continue to discuss the stage community's endless spirit, creativity, and collaboration, almost all of that good. I'll let you in on what I've seen, which you can likely find as well. And of course, I'll look ahead at the coming week, where there will be more to watch, to listen to learn from, and to applaud. Well, the big headline, the Broadway League says that the new goal for reopening shows, remember when it was June 7th? Well, now it is Labor Day. Okay, all appendages crossed, but most still consider that a pipe dream. One show that will not be reopening on that date or any other in New York is Disney's Frozen. Now, don't shed any tears. The magical fiefdom is keeping Lion King and Aladdin on the schedule, and Frozen is likely going back on some national and international tours. It was never really a boffo hit, neither critically nor financially on Broadway. By the way, two other productions that were expected to open by now, Plaza Suite with married couple Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick, and the new musical about Michael Jackson, have both been postponed until next spring. The last piece of breaking news is that the original production of Hamilton, which was filmed a few years back and was expected to hit movie theaters, remember those, eventually will now be available for streaming on Disney Plus, in fact. So it was a bad news, good news week for that company's theatrical division. Now, virtually every theater company is offering, well, virtual material, and a good deal of it is really excellent. The most fun I had this past week was watching an original one-act called Frankie and Will, written by Talene Monahan. It's part of MCC's Live Lab series, and it can be found, of course, on YouTube. The piece features two wonderfully funny actors, Michael Urie and Ryan Spahn, and deals with the most famous William in playwriting history, asking whether he really wrote or did he steal some of those famous tragedies allegedly composed during another very dark period. Morally murky is how Will's friend Frankie described his friend's plague-inspired plan. The other live reading I watched was The Confession of Lily Dare, written by and starring Charles Bush, and streaming to promote the Actors Fund. Now, I missed it earlier this season at the Cherry Lane Theater, and I must say I enjoyed these 2 hours very much. It follows a woman's wild trajectory from convent to cabaret, so to speak. Penniless, she gives up a baby daughter in the Depression era, and becomes a torchy singer on the Barbary Coast, and later hits it big as a bordello owner, where, as someone says, is an eerily resonant moment, just breathing the air will give you the clap. Eventually, finances crash and trouble ensues, but always the mother-daughter mystery hovers. My silence is all I can offer my child. Well, I won't spoil any more, but will mom and daughter finally meet up in the nick of time? Well, check it out. Now, let me take a diversionary second here to commend the acting in these readings. By now, I think I've seen at least a dozen. The talent has been really extraordinary. Remember, you are watching these folks uncostumed, unadorned, isolated in their own distanced little boxes, and yet they make you laugh, cry, and believe. Now, I don't want to get philosophical here about the pleasure of seeing these dedicated artists up close. I still yearn to see them back on the stage, believe me, but they have surely risen to the occasion. Okay, what's coming up? Well, first, know that the Public Theater has extended the run of Richard Nelson's original piece. We really need to talk about this. You should go on the Public site to spend this delightful hour with the Apple family. Wednesday at 5:30, MCC's next Live Lab offering comes from playwright Matthew Lopez. It's called The Sentinels. Now, Lopez is a young man behind Inheritance, the two-parter that was hoping to be competing for Tonys. Remember those? About now. The glossiest event of this coming week may be a reading of George Bernard Shaw's Candida, also for the Actors Fund. This is a matinee, yeah, remember those, Wednesday at 2, with a rather stellar cast. Another Actors Fund project will be a live performance of Daddy Long Legs, a reuniting of the original cast of that short-lived production. That's this Thursday night. And check out Lincoln Center's offerings, which now include Pipeline, a powerful piece about education and racism. I think I reviewed that here. And Sunday night, there's a concert led by Kelly O'Hara. Well, how do you beat that? The Atlantic Theater Company also starts presenting material this coming Friday at 4 and for all following Fridays. Well, until you know what. Of course, feel free to roam beyond state lines. Now we can enjoy other creative communities' works. The Center Theater Group in L.A., for example, has Kate Burton performing three famous monologues by a trio of writers named Miller, Guare, and Stoppard. Finally, I mentioned collaboration as I started this report. Well, I heard it in action this week as I was invited to listen in to a fascinating discussion between the heads of BAM, Harlem Stage, the Brooklyn Museum, and the producer of Hadestown. It was called How Do We Move Toward Recovery? They shared stories and ideas and serious concerns. What is the virus's lasting impact on behavior? How can old theaters be made physically safer? That's a real issue, especially on Broadway, where many venues are over a century old. It was sort of agreed that museums would open first. Frictionless is the term. Easier to practice social distancing there. Open air, smaller rather than larger, were other terms of the times that were discussed. The economic challenges are obviously harrowing, yet they do need to be met. As one participant said, the arts are a huge part of the country's economic engine. Ultimately, there was optimism and faith in what they do. Even in our darkest moments, new forms will be invented, and out of these ashes, art will rise, said another. In Frankie and Will, the one act that I so enjoyed, the young and frantically frustrated bard laments, "This plague has left me bereft of inspiration." Well, this plague, Jill, is hardly berefting our own artists, and aren't we lucky?
We are entirely lucky, and I just remember the old necessity is the mother of invention, and I'm very unfashionable, but quite excited to see what people come up with in the interim, and what improvements there are. One of the things, for people who traveled frequently, one of the complaints of, you didn't have to be awake to make this complaint, was how crowded and packed and vile it was. Hmm. It you getting on a plane was basically like getting on a bus back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, certain aspects are going to, just by virtue of, let's call it social or physical distancing, have to be more, it's going to cause certain things to become more civilized. And in that more civilized, quote, you're going to have to figure out how to rejigger your profits.
That's right, because that's, economically, sure, you can have people sitting in theaters 6 feet apart, but then you're selling, a half a theater,
Also, I did read, yes, and then, so then I guess it's harder, or maybe you have two companies, maybe you have a split company.
Mm-hmm.
So you are, performing, so the people have seating. I remember, don't you remember years and years ago when you went to visit somebody, a friend in UK, and they would tell you they were going to the cinema and that they had bought tickets for it?
Yes.
Now, how long before that came here? You never used to be able to pre-book your tickets here.
Exactly.
You used to stand in line, long line, snaking around the block, which people now do to get into, for example, the Green Market in Brooklyn, 6 feet apart, two blocks. But it does seem as though there's an intrinsic human willingness to queue up.
Yeah, I also remember going to the United Kingdom, going to England and seeing all the great plays for like $15, a ticket.
Exactly.
And that ain't happening ever again, I don't think.
But then you've also got the so-called, I hope you can see my air quotes, the provinces, how you put a play out. Maybe we're going to go back to more, it's like, all right, you got to take this on the road to a smaller place and work it through instead of, since you can't get everybody in the same room right now anyway, grabbing, raising $26 zillion.
It's
and starting in a, I mean, I'm just making this up as I go along. I have no idea.
These are the kind of things they were discussing. And absolutely it's going to happen. I mean, there will be joint ventures. There will be ventures that are, like you say, done in different kinds of venues. Look at your place out there, the Great Barrington Stage is going to try something. Social distancing, but putting on certain shows this summer by August. We'll see if that happens. We'll see if people show up. I mean, that's the question. Oh, no, I have no doubt that creatively, you know, again, with a big Broadway production, that's tough. That I don't know how you redo that. You're probably not going to get Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick to go on the road.
But not yet. When I say not yet, you're going to redo it because sooner or later, and this is another topic for another day, but yeah. Sooner or later, certain people are going to come out of their houses.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to. They're just going to have to and understand that it's, you know, there is some risk in life, but I do think that as some of the people, the hardliners, you know, can't leave the house type, see that other people are going out and surviving, knowing that there is more of a treatment, knowing that there are, I mean, there's so much, and it's somewhat alarming, there's so much misinformation about, you know, somebody said to me yesterday, and this is a highly educated person, well, there are still cases. I said, how are you defining case? You know, because if you report, if you have more testing, then you find out that there are more positives and negatives. I guess that makes a case. It's not more hospitalizations. It's just, you know, there's this, it feeds into this tornadic fear vortex that is, you know, affecting certainly.
Especially when people felt they had an options, like right now we do have the option. And it let's face it, it's kind of nice to sit down on my couch in my pajamas and watch a great reading of a really good play. Do I want to do that the rest of my life? No. But I bet there are people who, you know, like you said, who wants to go to Times Square? You know, you can't even move on Times Square. It's so crowded. How do you get there? How do you get home? How much does it cost? You know, there are all those things that, that's the fear here, is that this stuff isn't setting in. That's what they were talking about, is it changing people's behavior forever. You know, after 9/11, people were scared to go out to a ball, not because they thought they were going to catch the flu, but because they thought there'd be a terrorist, there'd be a bombing, you know.
They got 25,000, they got a bunch of people in the Yankee Stadium. That was the beginning of God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch.
That's
and
right.
I will say, do you remember what opened on Broadway that got people back there anyway?
What was it? What was it first?
Mamma Mia.
Mamma, of course. Yeah. Feel good. Yeah. Feel good. Exactly. Well, maybe the Temptations will get us back this time. It's not going to be Michael Jackson because that ain't happening until next spring. But no, I'm convinced people will get up eventually and get back in those seats.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.